for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nicole Novell, also known as Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. We've also got Rob Zarek on the line. He owns the other half of the joint. Are you there, Rob?
How are you doing?
Wow. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
There you go. Sounded like you were underwater.
No, I was not underwater. I was using my new headset. So my new headset is now unplugged and is no longer using it.
Oh, I see, because it sounded like you were joining us under the sea.
No, you know, I think that might be a different topic. I've seen throughout the years people talk about, you know, different spots underneath the water. Can that be haunted? You know, from different tragedies and stuff. I do not know, but I don't think that's tonight's show topic. So I will digress.
Yes. Tonight's topic is definitely one that is, as you know, a favorite of mine.
You know, and it's become a favorite of mine, too. I think maybe you're rubbing off on me.
It must be.
It has to be, because if you look at a lot of the things I do now, use the ghost box, use dowsing rods, and now I'm interested in haunted items.
You even have an interest in psychic mediums, too.
Yes, to some. I'm coming on board.
Coming around. You're coming around.
Coming on board to the psychic medium. I was going to say train, but I don't think that's the right terminology. So we'll let that one go there. And even for the fact of using a Ouija board. I don't know if our listeners were listening
I hope so.
Yeah, if they're not, you know, I think we always say shame on them if they're not listening, if you didn't catch that one. But we had Karen Dahlman on, and I said that I would try the Ouija board. So
I know. I'm very excited about the advancement of your open-mindedness to some of the pieces of equipment that might be taboo or might be just, you know, not everybody's arsenal. It's definitely not in everyone's arsenal. So I definitely applaud you in that.
It's not mine. You're going to have to bring it.
Well, of course. I have plenty.
And I think there might have actually be a perfect outlet for us to try it out on coming up. So I think we'll be together soon investigating. It's Halloween time. Mm-hmm. So obviously we're going to be together investigating. And, you know, speaking of Halloween, I think that's why tonight's show is very relevant, because there are numerous horror-based movies and paranormal movies that are, you know, around the items being haunted. So I think it's a quality topic for tonight's show. Plus, we just investigated an antique mall with some interesting findings.
For sure. Definitely was interesting. I think some of the findings were a little, I definitely were unexpected. Let's put it that way.
Oh, completely unexpected. We we did a ghost box session and got responses that we did not see coming.
No. And
with a ghost box we don't traditionally use. And it was one of those things that, you know, speaking of keeping an open mind, we did not necessarily have an open mind. We're coming through, you know, we're testing out this ghost box, and we were kind of like, it's so-so. But it turns out we were getting some very interesting communication and intelligent responses. So, and I guess that's kind of where that led tonight's show is, was that spirit that we communicated with from the items in the antique mall or in the land? So, you know, it's very relevant to our past investigation, and I'm looking forward to discussing the topic, because some people, I would say it's probably 75-25%, and only because we posted a picture on it, and I would say 75% of the people said they believe so. So I do have stats to back up my my claim there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's become, that's a very mainstream topic. You know, you mm-hmm. think when you bring something new into your house, did you bring in the previous owner as well?
That's right. And I think that our guest tonight, who is on the line, would definitely be someone who would be the one of the people who could probably tell you a lot of stories about some items, because he has a whole museum of them. And that's our guest tonight, Steve Hummel, from the Archive of the Afterlife Paranormal Museum. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him on air. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Doing good. Just chilling out tonight.
Good.
I think anytime we can talk about haunted items and objects, it's a good night.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's so, for sure.
You know, mm-hmm. It's great to have you on. You know, as I don't know if you had heard the intro, you know, being Halloween time, there are a lot of movies and a lot of, just general mindset. Now people think that there are items that have attachments and spirits. And mm-hmm. we figured, since you have one of the largest museums, if not the largest, we should have you on, because we, we've been to your museum. We love it. And I'm sure you have, if anyone can verify stories of items being haunted, I'm pretty sure it's you.
Well, thank you.
And if you can't, then we made a bad call. So.
No, I think I think he's probably one of the first people I would reach out to and talking about some activity that might be associated with an item. Given,
well, that means that definitely means a lot, and I'm honored.
Well, and that's another interesting topic. We do have a bunch of haunted items, and we will soon be bringing them to Steve's museum to display. So,
mm-hmm.
if that shows you our trust in Steve, we're giving him our stuff. So, mm-hmm. I think there's no better compliment than, hey, we're giving you our stuff. So.
Yeah.
So
well, I'm definitely looking forward to just seeing the items.
Yeah.
Oh, and we hope you get activity.
Yeah.
And
that's the idea, right?
It is
true.
I was hoping you could give the listeners a little bit of a rundown of your museum and some of the items you have. And I think the fun part tonight is we're going to surprise you with a clip that we captured, and surprise the listeners with a clip that we captured
mm-hmm.
while we were investigating the museum. So it's never been publicly replaced. Well, you haven't heard it yet, so hold judgment, because it might be it might be super awesome. It's we already know it's awesome, but it might be like amazing awesome. So. You know, it's something that we've never released to the public. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would be perfect. You know what? I didn't even tell you what it is. So we're hoping that you bring up the item, because then that would be the most amazing segue. But I'm still not going to tell you what it is. And hopefully you'll bring
you're
it up.
You're going to make me sweat it out, huh?
Segue.
Yep.
This was a complete surprise. I wasn't telling you. I wasn't telling the listeners. We,
mm-hmm.
We're going to surprise everyone tonight. So. Mm-hmm. Have at it with a little promo, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So tell us about the museum.
Okay. Well, I started the museum back in November of 2011. It was at a different location. It was in a building that also had a little diner that I had, which was next door to a gym and fitness center that I had. At the end of 2016, I moved the museum to where it is now, in the Sanford Community Center, which is about 5 minutes away from where the old one used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandfather and I were still in the buildings, and I wanted to keep the museum open. And being on the board of directors at the community center, I knew that this one room was available, so I quickly rented it and moved the museum into room 202. And since then, within a year and a half's time, I had to rent out a second room. and I pretty much have it filled with the, with larger items. I have room for some like smaller items and different things like that now, and I'm already thinking about looking at a third room or and seeing how that would go. I started counting a couple different times on how many items I have, and I just kind of quit counting. Some of the larger items we have include a bed frame from the Eloise Psychiatric Hospital up in Michigan. This past year, my friend Steve Wachowski, he hooked me up with a really cool 1860s era wicker cooling casket that he found in Gettysburg. Trying to think what else. I have two embalming tables, a couple caskets, different things like that. Some of the smaller items we have that a lot of folks come to see, one is the execution cap to the electric chair from the former West Virginia State Penitentiary. An item I just got in about 2.5-3 weeks ago. It took me about 2 years to finally get it where I could afford to get it. It's the King James Bible that belonged to serial killer Eileen Wuornos when she was on death row.
Wow.
And it's charged. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's one of the most charged items we have as a museum now. We have a 666 Bible that was from an abandoned hospital down on Huntington. A really cool story with that. Of course, the ever-popular portrait of the woman named Annie. She's probably one of the most highly visited items we have, and she's very active. Of course, multiple haunted dolls, different things like that. We do have a military section, spiritual protection area where we also have a mourning or memorial altar. People can bring in items that belong to loved ones or even pictures. We have teacup candles they can light in honor of their loved one or even pets. So we do offer a place where people can leave some of their grief, you know what I mean, their sadness, and move on with their lives if they wish to. That's one area I do help guests when they come in, as I am ordained, and I do blessings for houses and people. You know, and I think that's something that in the paranormal field that could be one of the main focuses is helping people. So, yeah, there's a lot going on with the museum.
Now, do you feel the activity? I know you do paranormal investigations in the school. And do you feel that it's the activity there is from your museum? Or do you feel like this stuff there is from the school? Do you have any idea if the school was haunted before you and had activity before you got there? Or did you bring anything with you?
Yes, the school was already very active before I moved the museum in there. There were reports from some of the teachers when it was open, all the way up until board members, including myself, had seen and heard things while working. You know, in the afternoon and evening when no one else is really in there. So the school was already active, very active, to be honest. And then moving the museum into the building as well definitely has increased the energy levels. But we have very, very little evidence that would suggest where the energy from my items travels throughout the building itself. I think a lot of the entities, the energy from the items tend to stay in their general area. And I think the energy from the school pretty much takes up the rest of the building. If that makes sense.
Okay. It does.
Well,
for sure.
Because I know we investigated there and multiple times. You know, there's been times we just stop by and like, hey, let's start up a live stream or hey, let's investigate. And you're like, all right, let's do it. And that's the one beauty of, you know, come and stop by and seeing you. You're like, yeah, sure. You know, and then we actually did a formal event there. And what I thought was interesting is the room that we set up with tables and stuff for people to come set up their equipment is we were having all of our devices and going off and having a wonderful Ghost Box session right from that front room. So to me, we're having more activity in that room than I even imagined. So I never left. I just sat right at my table and was just like conducting sessions. It was great. And, it was kind of interesting to, you know, what we had captured. And hopefully by the end of the night, we'll be able to play that for you because I'm excited.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, we've had multiple groups in there, and whether on a small or a large scale, it seems like every group, even on public events, someone has always had a really cool experience or captured some really cool evidence. One group that was in there this past year, Interfaith staff, a good friend of mine, Justin Brown, he and his group were in there, and they were wanting to do my interview, and my friend and volunteer, if you will, Vicky, her interview for their episode, and no joke, I mean, I saw the batteries they took right out of the packet, brand new ion lithium batteries to run their lav mics and everything like that, and we went through literally 15 batteries before we even got the interview done. And then by the time they got started, 3 to 4 members of their group were so drained of energy, and 2 of them were just almost sick, that they barely get to finish their episode. I mean, it was intense. Multiple full and partial apparitions have been seen really throughout the school, mainly in the back hallway on the first floor and the back stairwell. That tends to be where a lot of apparitions are seen. Disembodied voices, footsteps throughout the halls, the sounds of doors opening and closing, and none of them are moving, you know, residual sounds like that. It's very much of a hidden gem, if you will, for paranormal research. I think a lot of people, when they come in, they look at it, oh, you know, this school's clean and it gets used, you know. It's not that visually intimidating until you're here at night. And that's when it takes on an entirely different vibe. And there's some times where I just don't want to be in the building. And I'll be honest with you, that says a lot. Almost 11 years of my life, I was a nighttime paranormal tour guide at the West Virginia State Penitentiary. And there are some nights I'd rather be in the prison working at night than being in that school, that community center at night.
Wow. That says a lot.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, West Virginia State Penitentiary, you know, wasn't nicknamed by the Department of Corrections Blood Alley for no reason. You know, it was one of the most violent institutions in the nation. And with that comes a lot of negative energy, a lot of negative haunting.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line is you feel that items can be haunted.
Absolutely.
That's a definite
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And how did you, I guess I wouldn't say get started, but how did the museum, you know, how did the museum get started? Did you have something that happened, you know, at your home or as a child, and then you started collecting? Because obviously you don't just wake up one morning and you have a bunch of haunted items. You have to have started somewhere or have the idea. You know, where did the idea stem from? What did it stem from?
I had, at this one point in time in my life, I had just opened the gym, and I decided I wanted to go for the building next door and do like a little diner venture, if you will, and that happened. And then in the diner building, there was actually a poker room, and I didn't want to do poker machines around here. You just, you know, it's almost a welcome mat, you know, break into my business and try to steal money, you know.
Right.
So I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And we have enough of them anyway in this town. And after a trip to Gettysburg with my friends Dave and Ryan, we had got to meet Alexandra Holzer. There was a speaking event at a kind of a paranormal spiritualist museum. It wasn't a very big museum, but it was still pretty cool. And looking at it, I'm like, okay, I like this idea, but I want to start collecting people's experiences, local ghost stories, lore, legends, and stuff like that. And I can use the blue, it was painted blue, but the poker room called the blue room. We can use that to be the museum, and it could be a complimentary museum. So when people are have ordered their food, they're waiting for, they can go in and read stuff in the museum, and I'll come and go get them and let them know your food's ready and so on and so forth. And so that's kind of how it got started. And then at no time at all, once in a while, someone would come in and say, this item creeps me out, it's been in my house, you can have it, type of deal. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this is interesting, you know, getting some more visual, you know, items that people can see when they come in, and they come with really cool ghost stories. So that's pretty much how it got started. And I'll be honest with you, one of the main factors in addition to that is, you know, I have people say, well, you know, no one's going to come to a museum like that, it can't be done, and so on and so forth. So I took $50, it was my first budget, and I started the museum on $50. And
wow.
with people telling me that it can't be done. So I'm like, all right, fine, we'll play this game. So it might have turned off a little bit on a spiteful note, but it's addicting. I've always liked collecting things anyway, which didn't help matters out. And so, like, you know, a lot of the local businesses would look and, like, give you that turned up nose look, because, like, oh, what do you got in there? Creepy stuff. So, and that was when I bought my first embalming table and put it in the front window.
I love it. Tell me I can't do something and I'll do it so well that it'll blow your mind. I have the same type of, you know, attitude toward tell me I can't. So I totally love and respect that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Anyone can accomplish a lot when someone puts doubt in their way and they got a little chip on their shoulder.
Yep. This is true. So out of the items that you have, what would you say personally is what you feel is the most haunted item that you have?
I would say 9 times out of 10, we'll say, the one that tends to have the most, that tends to yield the most responses from, like, my guests. Probably the Annie portrait. That's more in a positive energy. And I would say for the one with the most negative energy, I would say the Eloise bed frame. I've had people, they tend to visit the museum that my guest's at, that room first, and they'll go over to the second room, and they'll come right back there and say, yeah, I can't handle that room. There's something about that bed or something like that. Or, you know, what's with the bed? That tends to be the one and the execution cap. And then, I mean, there's Charlie, there's the effigy doll, the 666 Bible. Then it just starts cascading, you know, which ones are more on it.
Right.
I'd say Annie and probably the Eloise bed would be one for the good energy, one for bad energy. Be a top two.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Good to know.
So are there items that you will not take in the museum? Like, is there something that's completely against either your beliefs or, you know, maybe something you would not take in, or is it pretty much a free-for-all?
I'm not really afraid of any item, to be honest. And I'm not saying that in an egotistical manner. Everyone has their own religious backgrounds, their creeds, their faiths. My faith is Christianity. And for me, I know who has my back, so I'm not worried about it. You know, and that's not egotistically putting it. It's just, I'm confident with that. You know, I really don't believe in, like, I'm not superstitious. You know what I mean? There's coincidences, I'm sure, but spiritually speaking, again, I know who has my back, and I'm not really... really afraid or leery of any item that has come in or would ever be, you know, offered to the museum.
Now, have you ever taken any of the items to your house and noticed the activities increase at your house, or have maybe, you know, when it comes in, well, do they have your house and, you know,
Well, sometimes they've been sent to my house in the mail, and I normally just take them over because I want to get them on display so people can see them. I really haven't had an item here for that long, not because I don't want it here, but, you know, I spent a good general of my life at my grandparents' house helping them out, so I spend most of my time here, so I really don't have a lot of room to keep a lot of stuff anyway. The house I had from my previous marriage, I rented out to my friends, Rick and Mandy. You know, it's just less overhead for me, and it gives them a place to stay, and so I don't really have a lot of room here that I keep a lot of stuff, other than, like, my art. Like, half the room I use here is, like, upstairs, actually, is my bedroom, and the other half is my art gallery, so I do a lot of my artwork here, so.
Cool.
And people can buy your artwork, correct? Do you have it on your Facebook page, or where people can commission you from artwork? I think we might as well give you a plug since you were saying.
Yeah,
I've had commissions. I just posted the beginnings of one that I was working on before I called in tonight. The last two I've done, more abstract and floral, I've already sold those already.
I really loved the last one that I saw, which was a floral piece that I think you posted possibly over the weekend. I'm not on Facebook as much as I used to be. But it was beautiful, and I was like, I love that. I wish I could buy that. And I figured someone already had bought it. And not to mention, you know, I'm a poor girl, can't buy beautiful artwork.
Well,
I have to tell you,
it's
beautiful.
When they get some extra canvases, I'll have you one.
Yes, because that was absolutely gorgeous. And I was just like, wow. You know, it's because when we're talking, I know that you're an artist, but we talk so much about the paranormal and about the museum that, you know, it sometimes I have to be reminded, you know, that you do that. And it was absolutely beautiful. So I wanted to make sure I told you that.
I greatly appreciate that. And thank you. And I think, honestly, a lot of spirituality comes through whether an artist really realizes it or not. I think a lot of spirituality comes through their art. You know what I mean? I do writing and I do painting predominantly, and I may do some sketching and stuff like that. And I know with the poetry and shorthand book that I just came out with, Days of Ether and Hints of Madness, it's a lot of poetry and shorthand based off my empathic reflections, if you will, from items that I have that are haunted, from places I've been that are very haunted, and different things like that. So, you know, I think from an artist standpoint, there's a lot of spirituality involved with their work. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, and I always, you talked about Steve and his artwork, I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with Steve for the fact of his sports teams. And little known fact, a lot of people is, he has a very odd taste in football and when it comes to pro and college, because he's a Cleveland Browns fan and then unfortunate choice for college, which I won't even say the words because then I might have to throw up.
Oh, so he's a Michigan fan.
It's against your religion. Don't say it.
Yes, I
was able to say it. I could say it.
Shame on you. I don't. You're not allowed to say it.
I just said it. So what are you going to do? Yep, I did.
I will add this to it, though, as when it comes down to the brass tacks of thing, as long as the Big Ten looks good, that's all that matters. So. But I do have to support my WVU Mountaineers as well. So.
I would much prefer that than I have no problem with that, but it's the other place that has, you know, like
rather than the team up north, right?
Yes. The thing for me is, like, in my area, in the greater Cleveland area, if I see somebody wearing that team's colors, I will give them a dirty look. But yeah, apparently I do it no matter what, because we were at a place in Gettysburg looking at cell phones. And can you believe the guy walked up to me and he was wearing their gym shoes? And I was like, what is this? We need to leave now. And it was I will go as far as not purchasing something from somebody because they're wearing their apparel.
Needless to say, I did not get a good deal offered to me after that.
I told the guy straight out. I'm like, I hate your shoes. And he was like, what? I'm like, those shoes are stupid. You know, and I guess that when you're looking for a deal, I wasn't looking for the deal, so I could say what I wanted to say. It was cool.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah.
But, you know, in all reality, with that rivalry, it's actually the biggest rivalry in sport, like college sports. So, you know, if I was somebody who was trying to sell something or a service at a store, I wouldn't even wear Ohio State stuff because there's people, you know, even though they're incorrect and they're, you know, they don't like Ohio State. And look, when it comes to trying to sell something, I think you need to be impartial.
Right. Yeah. And sales,
you didn't feel that way.
And sales, you got to be Switzerland. You got to be neutral.
That's right.
But it's funny because it's a weird mix of teams. Like, there's not too many, you know, pro teams and college fans that like those that combination. Like, I can't think of many.
Honestly, with my sports teams or teams for some reason or the other, when I was just a kid, just starting to play baseball and football, for some reason I picked them. I don't know why. You know, if anything, you know, where I'm from, it, you know, would be, you know, a Steelers fan and I feel like WVU, or like in the Pirates and stuff like that, maybe the Reds. But I don't know. For some reason, sake of anyone listening, I won't go over the team's name.
Well, anyway, back to haunted items. I think cause I could talk all day on that topic, but, you know, we've been out there multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely love it. Definitely captured some interesting evidence.
For sure.
And, you know, I think the cool thing about it is it's taken off. You know, you mentioned you only put $50 down. That was what you got started with. And that's really a cool story by itself. But, you know, you are, I believe you're the number one rated, I'm going to butcher it up, so I'm going to let you say, but I know on TripAdvisor, I think you're the number one museum in, what's the correct term? Because I don't have it written down, but I know you pride yourself in it. And I think it's really cool, too, when people come to, you know, the area, they can definitely check you out, and your references and all the great remarks on TripAdvisor, you know, are there. And it's not just people like us who love paranormal. It's, you know, the general public.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was about a year and a half ago. There's two ways that they rank things on TripAdvisor. One, the quantity of votes or reviews, if you will, that a place gets. And there's also, like, the percentage of, like, who has the highest percentage, because you get 5 out of 5, 4 out of 5, 3 out of 5, and all that jazz. And right now, quantity-wise, we're second in Moundsville, but for percentage-wise of, like, how, like, higher percentage-wise, we're number one.
Nice.
Well, and I think it's
I'll take that any day.
You sit amongst the items, and, you know, anytime we've stopped in there, you take the time to speak to the people who come in, you know, and buy an admission ticket, and, you know, you tell the stories, and I think that probably goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
that's one thing I've learned.
Apparel.
Yeah, I need, every time I end up getting it, I sell out, and then I have to spend the money on, like, something else. I need to get some shirts, rubber wristbands, and pins made and stuff that people ask for, like, bumper stickers and postcards and stuff. So I know I need to get them.
Then
I blew a lot of money on that last item I got, which I really, really wanted.
I understand why. It's an awesome item to be able to say that you have.
I kind of want to
investigate. Oh, it was so weird being able to finally, like, hold that Bible in my hands. Like, you know what? And I hate to say it, you know, I met the guy one time and he was super cool. But, like, I know he's, Pagans is starting to do a lot of serial killers and stuff like that. It's But you know, when I had the Bible, I said, he's not going to get this. I finally got this. It took me 2 years, but I finally got it.
Wow.
I don't know if you have it, but what would be kind of a cool idea would be to take, you know, and have like a pamphlet with, or a, some kind of book with all the different items in it that people can walk away with, you know.
Yeah, well,
I'm starting on that.
Yeah, definitely starting on that. It's about halfway done because I keep getting new things. So, I actually, we had the Haunted Relic Expo this past weekend, and my friend Antonio, who's one of my biggest Haunted Relic Scouts, I kind of call him, he brought me in two boxes full of haunted items that he's been able to find in his trips throughout the States and Norway and Ireland. Then again, you know, we got that, and it's just, you know, I start adding to the book, and then I add more and more and more, and I'm like, this is never going to get done. So I think I'm going to maybe slightly scrap the idea of doing a book about it and just do a really, just a little quick handout, just a general synopsis and stuff like that.
Right.
I would do a coffee table book, and then you could, the best part about acquiring new items is then that makes it for more books to sell. Coffee book number one, coffee book number two, you know, with all new items. So I think you're missing the boat on that one, because you could have volume one, volume two, and just keep cracking them out. And I think people would buy them because it would be a fun, like, little souvenir to take home, and, you know, then you could tell people they're taking home a haunted book.
I never thought of it that way. I kept thinking of the books that when I did my poetry and shorthand book, you know, it's more about 90-some pages. And I figured, well, maybe I don't need to do something that big. Maybe like a little pick 15 items out, do a book on it, sell it for a while, and then maybe a few months later come out with a second one.
Yeah.
And then a 30-page trilogy.
You could. Well, I have to say, I was watching a video, a random video on YouTube, okay, Steve? And lo and behold, they talked about this museum in West Virginia that contains, and this is like, it was like a top of most haunted items in the world, okay? And they were talking about an item that I had was particularly drawn to at your museum, and I was just scouring through all my photos because I think I've photographed almost everything you might have. And I found it. I took this photo January 6th. It looks like at 1:34 a.m., like a true paranormal investigator does. And it is the footbook by Dr. Seuss. And it was on this random video that I came across. Don't even ask, because the video channel, it was a weird name. It was something Piggy or something. And it just, you know, came up. And lo and behold, you know, they talked about this, you know, this museum in West Virginia, which of course struck me in my interest because I'm like, well, I know what that is. And then they talked about the book, which I'm so drawn to this, maybe because I have a, you know, love of Dr. Seuss, but also because of the storyline that is associated with this book. Would you share that with our listeners about the foot book?
Yes. The foot book. Is an interesting item. We ended up getting it back when I was at my old location. And my friend Shane Berge, he's another paranormal investigator. He now lives in Texas now, but we're still good friends. He had a client contact him and said that he had gotten this book and some other items from a yard sale. And she started having weird things going on at her house, I think, like, the sound of a kid laughing, footsteps or something like that, and thought she was being watched. And when he told me, he did a couple investigations of the house, and to his, you know, according to him, he felt, and his client felt, that the item that was causing the energy, the activity in the house was this one particular talent book. And there are some darkened stains on the front and back cover of it. I did have my friend, Gary Brandon, I'm sorry, he's a fire chief here in town, look at it, and according to his opinion, which I would trust, giving his profession, is Bloodstains on it. And the story behind it is the book came or somehow was associated with a residence that at one point in time had a quadruple homicide happen in it. And there was an older man, two sisters, and one of the sisters had a two-year-old. Those were the four victims. The story was that the one lady who didn't have a two-year-old with her, she was going through a divorce. Her husband was very, very abusive. He's actually on, my knowledge now, he's still on death row in Ohio. And basically, she wanted a divorce. He was abusive. So through the course of time, the older man was her father. He came down from Canada. And her sister came from California, I think around Oakland, with her two-year-old, just to be there, you know, spend time with her, moral support. And long story short, the husband who was being divorced was arrested at JFK Airport with her two sons, heading to Pakistan. And that's after the authorities found the four victims in the house.
Wow.
So, and there's some, we're still trying to figure out how the book came in contact with the house. There's a name on the inside cover, and a couple guys came during the world's largest ghost hunt, and we looked up the guy's name. I said, I don't know who this guy is. So we ended up finding him on Facebook, and he lives out in California now. And he didn't want to talk much about it, but it turns out his family were the next door neighbors of the people who were murdered. And his name that was in the book was his grandmother's writing. He gave that book to him. But we haven't figured out how that book came in contact with the other household. His dad did say that he did have a yard sale at one time, and there's, a slight possibility, I'm not sure, that the family next door may have came over to the yard sale, purchased that book and other items maybe for their kids. They had two boys that were, like, I think 5 and 7 at the time. So it's hard to say. But all we know is that it's probably it's one of our top 10 active items that we have in the museum. And it's a very sad case. It's very depressing. You know, there's a lot of sadness, a lot of, like, kind of uncertainty type of emotion, that, at least that I know that I pick up off of it.
Which makes sense to that I'm drawn to it, because that's, you know, I kind of can, I guess, pick the item that has kind of like the sadness for whatever reason. I want to try to make people happy. I don't know. And like,
I'm
just kind of
drawn
that,
I think
to
that's
that
awesome.
Book.
And that's like,
so
honestly,
it's
similar what happened to me with the Annie portrait. I noticed the Annie portrait before I even had a museum, and I always would pass her the vendor that had her picture, because the other vendor beyond her had a World War II item. And I honestly, every time I was there, for some reason, I kept myself staring at her picture. You know, and long story short, within two and a half years, I had gotten her picture and found out more about her and learned where she was buried. Once I found out where she was buried, I took a small grave spray up like 5 days before Christmas. And from that point on, she's free. I mean, she comes and goes. She visits every now and then. But she's a lot happier. And I think that's has a lot to do with energies and feelings that people get from cemeteries and stuff like that. Sometimes stop and say hi. You know, a lot of them, their families moved on or passed away. They don't have anyone to stop and say hi to them anymore. They were human like we are now. You know, I don't think the emotions change any.
I totally get it. And I totally understand that need for, you know, taking the time to remember, you know, and I think a lot of us don't, that these items, you know, had belonged to somebody. A lot of times people had a connection with the item, you know, and those were people, you know, just like ghosts are people. And, you
yeah.
know, we have to show them respect. And I feel the same way, and I'm sure you do, and I know you do, about your items. You know, you have to have a level of respect with everything you come in contact, because, as we all know all too well, like, if my personal items, I don't like when people, like, break or, you know, are,
touch.
You know, yeah, touch, really, my items, unless you're being honest, yes. No, because I like to take care of my things. I'm very particular about certain things. And, you know, I would hope that certain items I have that my family members, when I pass on, will have that type of, you know, respect toward them. And I know if the willpower is there to be able to haunt, I am going to haunt my items. I am going to haunt people because I know me. So.
I never thought of that, because I always ask them, like, if you die, give me your item, your paranormal investigating stuff. And if you haunt them, then maybe I don't want them.
I plan on haunting everything that meant anything to me.
But it is true, because if anyone's ever investigated with us, and we're getting ready to close up, and it's like 4 or 5 in the morning, I'm like, hey, can I help you? She's like, no, you cannot touch my stuff, and you will not know how to put it back in the right way, because I have a very specific way I want it, and I don't want that changed. And I'm like, okay. You know, so it's a
and he
story.
Stands there for hours waiting for me to finish.
Right.
Impatiently waiting.
Sometimes I'm rolling around on the ground. It all depends on the night, you know,
yeah.
how I feel.
Very true. So true.
But so, you know, Nicole touched on the topic of why items are haunted. And what is your belief? Like, what do you... There's so many theories out there. Why do you feel that there are items that have attachments? Some do and some don't.
Yeah, that's kind of that's a broad topic. It's honestly, you know, you got the whole the energy thing can't be created nor destroyed, and it latches on in some way, form, or fashion to an item. There could be, you know, that could be very well true. My beliefs go along with that. I do mm-hmm. believe that living people also, carry certain energies and emotions at times.
Yes.
Sometimes they link together. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's like
mm-hmm.
you meet someone for the first time in your life. You know, honestly, when I met you guys, I felt comfortable and, you know, felt like, yeah, this could be a really cool friendship. But there's other people you meet in your lifetime and you don't know why, and you say, I could never trust you a day in my life. I don't know why, but I think, you know, mm-hmm. I think that transfers over. And I think I've noticed that with people visiting my collection, the archive. There are some mm-hmm. items that speak to people, and there's some items, it'll be different people going through that, and they don't speak to them. They don't link with that. They don't mesh with that. And I think... I think a lot of similarities between the living and, you know, the deceased, if you will, I think they carry over. You know, I think that,
yes.
you know, you have to have that link. You got to have that common denominator where, you know, you and the energy off of a certain item, you know, have in common. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times that connection is, you know, you can't, you don't even have to vocalize it. You know, you and the mm-hmm. and that energy, that entity, you just know. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I told a good friend of mine. He is an open-minded skeptic, I guess, from my understanding, the way he puts it. He started off as an investigator, mm-hmm. and I was a skeptic. And mm-hmm. and I told him, I said, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, you're not going to know and I'm not going to know until after we're dead and gone, you know.
Yep.
And that's one thing that's interesting with the paranormal field. No one's going to know for sure until you cross over. And
exactly.
You have people with near-death experiences. They come back and say, well, I've seen this happen. I've seen that happen. That's all fine and dandy. That's great. But not everyone else experienced that. So, unfortunately, that has to fall under hearsay until
mm-hmm.
each individual person experiences what's going to happen after we cross over.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes for a cool account. It makes for a cool, you know, statement or experience, or, you know, in some cases, a don't want to say a falsehood. That's kind of being brash about it. But, you know, I'm a type of person where the proof is in the pudding. You know, I base my my views of the paranormal, spirituality, life in general from my not only my studies from, you know, Warner University and the Mingo Bible Seminary, but also the School of Hard Knocks. You know what I mean? And there are a few people that I do. I'll trust their intuition. I'll, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt because they've earned that trust. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I want to experience it. I want to learn it firsthand as well.
Right. Beautifully put. I always tell everyone on my paranormal investigations that I do at work, you know, I tell everyone, I understand if you're skeptic, I love you. You know, that's great. Skeptics are valuable. And I totally understand where they're coming from, because if you haven't experienced it yourself, you know, it's something that you can't, you know, maybe you can't fathom, and that's okay. You know, and in the same regard, you know, for an experience, you know, I always tell everyone, they're like, you know, they ask these questions and I can't answer them. Can I tell them I can't answer this because I'm not dead yet. You know, I can't give you an answer. I can tell you my own thoughts on perhaps as to why certain things are the way they are, but I'm not dead. You know, I can't tell you why, who, what, when, where, how, or why. You know, I don't care how long I've been doing this, truly, and until I'm dead, I won't have that answer. So,
absolutely.
Like, unfortunately, for you all, I'm alive. Yeah, I'm like, for you guys, I'm sorry I'm alive. You know, because
well,
I can't answer that for
you.
I'd
rather
be
talking to you this way rather than through a voice recorder, though.
This is true. This is true. But I do plan on doing that when I pass. Hopefully, that's something that I do have, you know, the ability to be able to do. And because it's, I have a long list of things to do on that side as well.
Yeah.
So that's my thought.
Well, you know, what I was coming to is I am, you mentioned about being an open skeptic and open-minded skeptic, and I think pretty much every show is something that I'm skeptical about. I've been thinking about our last, like, you know, radio shows. I've been thinking, well, I'm kind of skeptical on that topic, so maybe that would be a great way to describe me, because there's always something that I'm like, yeah, so on. But when we visited your when we visited your museum, there you have the execution cap. And, you know, my thought process on this first thing was, you know, it maybe it holds energy, you know, it's an execution cap. You know, there was energy, you know, through this.
It had energy going through
but,
it.
Right. But if, let's say I was executed one day, I don't foresee that happening. You know what I mean? I tend to think of myself as a decent human being. You know, I guess things change. You never know heat of the moment. But I don't foresee myself ever being executed. Now, what would be the purpose? Like, you know, when people are like, well, they have an attachment to it because they loved it, or, you know, they want to stay with it. I was thinking to myself, why would you come back and visit the execution camp? Like, I couldn't grasp the concept of what would be the reason why. Hey, I want to go visit that cap, you know. So, but the irony of that statement, and that's a statement I had to, you know, I had made. You know, forgive me. It's just my mindset. I couldn't grasp the concept, and you know, we did an investigation, like I mentioned now multiple times, and we did capture a lot of evidence that came through the cap. And the thing that kind of blew my mind is, you have the photos of the people who were executed with their names. And one of the clear responses we had captured was the exact first and last name of somebody who was executed wearing that cap. And it still blows my mind to this day. How, you know, but then, you know, then it brings up other subjects of, you know, if you have a name written on the wall, can another spirit say that name? You know, but we did capture the name of someone who was executed, you know, first and last, you know, which is for us, that's kind of like the validation, because a lot of times you'll get Tom or Bill or Bob or whatever. You don't get the first and last name.
Mm-hmm.
And we did capture that at your building. So we had the file ready to play. It's not done uploading. That's the beauty of live radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of not having my, main studio set up, because I have an issue with my computer. So I was going to try to take the cheesy way out and just play the file through my microphone, but I don't know how it will sound. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should attempt to do that, or we just, save it and upload it onto Facebook or our website tomorrow. I'm not sure what the best way is, but we did capture, the first and last name of one of the people executed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I kind of feel who it might be, but I don't know. But I think
you want to go. Should we go for it, Nicole, or should we just kind of wait?
Well, we can warn everyone that we do not know the quality that it will come out. We don't know. I guarantee you what we could do is we could go ahead and attempt to play it and warn everybody that, if you are wearing earphones, it could be helpful. If you're wearing earphones and it comes through and it partially deafens you, I apologize. If it's not able to be heard, it will be when we upload it to the site. So what we should do is, regardless, maybe go ahead and try to play it, as well as upload the file. If for some reason there's a problem hearing it, or maybe you're not hearing it, you can always go to our website at liveparanormal.com, and we'll post a link on Facebook where people could go over there and access the file once we have it uploaded on there. And they can listen to it for themselves with their headphones or however they wish. But we will warn everyone that the method that we're about to do, we're not sure exactly how it's going to come across.
It could go bad really fast.
It could go really, one of two ways. And that's, the chance that I think maybe we're going to go ahead and try to take.
Yeah, I think we're going to take that chance. So
mm-hmm.
I am going to take my best guess at way to do this.
Oh, boy.
So what do you mean, oh, boy? That makes me sad.
Are you playing it off your phone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
playing
maybe
it off
about
my computer.
4 to 5 inches away from the mic then. Try about 4 to 5 inches
That's
away
what
from
I was
the
thinking.
Mic. It might help.
Because it'll distort otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to hold it right to it. That burr. I've got a little bit of a common knowledge.
We'll see. All
right. So I've got it loaded now. So we
boy.
Fingers crossed.
I got them crossed.
All right, good.
how did that go? Did you hear it?
Not really.
No.
I didn't hear anything.
No, sir. Mm-mm.
Couldn't hear it at all, huh?
I heard very low, but that's because I have a studio headset on. And.
We'll give it one more attempt. I will give it one more attempt.
Move closer.
Any better?
We heard you.
I heard something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then that's not good.
No, I don't think it's going to be good enough, because it's an amazing capture, and quite honestly, I was afraid that this wouldn't give it justice, and it didn't. It didn't, and it's really a great capture, guys. You're going to want to check it out on liveparanormal.com. As soon as we have it uploaded, we will definitely share that link. Because it is worthy of being listened to. It is, and I very rarely will say, I very rarely agree with Rob, but I will agree that this was an absolutely awesome and amazing capture. So if that tells you anything, my friends, it's worthy of checking out, even if you have to come back later and check it out.
Well, and one thing I've noticed, this is like the interview of pain based on everything she's been saying. Like, I'm going to play a file. She's like, oh, boy. She's like, I very rarely agree with him.
It's an interview of reality, perhaps. There you go.
It's an interview of pain, and so I must go cry now.
You were going to anyway.
Look at that. It's like, I already knew you were. Typical.
What's new? Rolling around on the floor, crying.
At 5 a.m., and you don't want any help packing up.
I like my things put back a certain way.
A tear-worthy thing.
And if I don't, then I forget something, and it's just, throws me completely off, and I have to use my equipment not only for my very important paranormal investigations, but also for my work. So
I think
need things done the right way.
Is really kind of, I guess, off-putting to me, is that you'll find like a box that's like 3 inches by 7 inches. Like, oh, that'll be perfect. And I'm like, for what? And you're like, I'm going to put 6 things in there. And then you'll have another box and another bag. You're like, oh, this is my old purse. I have 9 things in that. And so she brings like 17 different cases of purses that like should just bring like one giant Tupperware. And she used to take like 2 or 3 Tupperwares and it was all gone. But then I don't know what had happened, but it's like, oh, look, here's like a tote bag. This would be perfect for these 6 items. You know, it's like there's no rhyme or reason. And it's so confusing because they'll be packed differently in a different thing every single time.
Keeps me on my toes.
It does. Like,
as I know, Steve also rearranges things because I'll go into the museum and I'll think I know exactly where something is. And I will go, wait a minute. And then he'll go, I did some moving around of things because I acquired new items. And then I'm so thrown off. I have got to go find, like, everything that I, you know, kind of, because I have certain items within the museum that I have to go check out every time, because I'm that kind of dork, and I'm like, ooh, and then it's moved. So, yeah, definitely keep me on my toes, too, there, Steve, with
I get
moving
bored
things
easy
around,
sometimes.
Because, well, not only that, but you keep acquiring things, you know, like the latest thing that you've acquired, which is absolutely awesome, and as you know, my friend Jenna, she is like, she has been telling me since the day that you posted that you got that. She is like, oh my gosh, he's got that Bible. Oh my gosh. She is so obsessed with it. And she's actually been messaging me during the show. And she had a question. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you, have you ever thought about painting serial killers?
Painting a what?
Painting serial killers. Like an actual, like a painting.
I guess an idea. I did have one plan I was going to do is talk to a few friends and people that would send me descriptions of nightmares they've had, and then I would try to do my rendition of their nightmare.
Ooh. That's pretty cool.
And the more I think about it, that, like, that might be a bad idea.
Yeah, I think you should do that, although those nightmares may become your own. You never
know.
I know,
that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a really good idea, doing a serial killer, do more of a surreal attempt at it and kind of add my little view, my little flair to it, I guess. That'd be
fun.
That's a good idea.
I think that'd be cool.
Might have to start
I'm
with
sure she's listening, and she's probably totally excited right now, and especially if you do that one, she's going to be so stoked. So very cool, very cool. Very cool. Now, what room do you have the Bible in?
Oh, it's in my first room where I can see it.
I thought so. Yep, I thought so. I was like, there's no way it's in that other room.
Well, I tell you what, there's something I started looking out for, and they're really cool displays, and you normally get them pretty inexpensively, but they're like coffee table inkstands. There's little things that, you know, you put them into your couch. You can get the ones that are enclosed in glass. They have like a little door on them. And I've been getting them off like Facebook Market page for like $20 and $30, and most of them come lit. I bought one for $30 for the Bible. The one I put the execution cap in, that stand, that display it's in, that's actually like a little inkstand that I bought for $20. So that's what I have the Bible in. And then the door that opens to get in and out of it, I just turn it towards the back of the wall. So that way no one can easily just, you know, get it, you know, or practice get their oil from their hands all over it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so
has
that's
the activity
what it's
in the
museum
corner. Changed?
What's that?
Has the activity in the museum changed since you acquired the Bible?
Yeah, it's definitely increased.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes because of the close proximity everything is, it feels like it's kind of turning in. I don't think it's doing this, but it seems like it's just an overall vibe, if you will. Like, there's obviously individual entities, energies there, but sometimes it feels like it's so charged that it's all unified in some way, form, or fashion. So I'm not sure how I feel about that part, but there's some days in there I'll be sitting at my desk and I close at 6 and I'll just start brainstorming or chatting with friends on Facebook, and I look at the time, the next thing I know it's 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh crap, I better get home. You know, and and then the oddest part with the museum is when I first open, it seems like every time when I first unlock the door and open it, I just miss something. Like everything was going on until the door opens and things go back to normal. That point, and whenever I'm locking up, whenever I have to turn the lights out and turn around to close the door, and it's just nothing but it's black inside the rooms, but I have two of them now. That's always just like, I honestly, sometimes it's hard to look up and look straight ahead into the room because I feel like there's someone or something right there at the doorway. You know, it's pretty intimidating sometimes.
Oh, I'm sure. I am sure.
And then I walk into a darkened school, which has its own energy, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get outside and get some fresh air.
Right? That's healthy.
I mean, in a perfect world, I mean, it'd be neat to be able to someday, because I love the school building. And then I went to school there for my sixth grade to grade school. And, like, you know, this one dream in the back of my head that would be awesome is to someday get to just own the entire Stanford school and have every room full of just haunted items.
Wow, that would be pretty awesome. I'm not sure how the people in the surrounding, you know, surrounding the school would feel, because I'm pretty sure it would be like charged as all get out, even more so than it already is. Obviously, if you had the whole place full of haunted items. But I definitely
wouldn't want to
come.
I wouldn't have to worry about my neighbors then.
True. It's like your own alarm system, if you will. You know,
it's
to keep an eye out for you.
Mm-hmm. You think that there's not a lot of people that would walk off with haunted items? You know, to me that would be like I would think. Have you ever had anything stolen?
I've had 3 pendulums stolen that I had laid out for people to use if they wanted to use them, but I think they were kids that made off with them. I'm not, honestly. Other than maybe when people like, because I'm nearsighted. So I've had some people ask if they could pick up the frames to read the information. You know, they'll touch the items, but I've very rarely seen anyone actually reach out and touch an item. And you know, most of them are laying right out, you know, just on shelves. And those people I watch, their hands are laying down on their sides or behind their backs. And I think it's kind of funny because a lot of them I know, they get, I'm not touching this piece and have something follow me home. I'm like, that's not really how it works, but if that makes you feel better, you're right ahead.
Right. Yeah.
I think that would be one of the safer places that, like, or safer, like, things to own would be a haunted museum for, like, theft purposes. Because, you know, in the back of your mind, well, I don't know, I guess I've never had I don't have a mindset of a thief. But if I did, I would think, you know, hey, I'm not going to steal that because I'd be taking home, you know, the spirit with me. So I think it's one of the probably more safer things to have is a haunted museum for items walking off by themselves. Still, maybe if they're haunted, they would walk off by themselves. So that's another topic. Have you ever had any items move? I mean, it wasn't one of my set questions, but just thinking of it, like you're going to walk in and there's like something turned or something that, you know, is like you fixed before you left, and
I've noticed that. Yeah, I've definitely noticed that. And I think being that I draw and I paint a lot, that's the type of memory I have is more photographic than it is, however else they call it. But, you know, I'll go through and I'll notice, oh, this has been moved a few inches, or this, you know, Charlie, the ventriloquist doll's head's positioned differently, and I'll have to put it, you know, slightly back where I think I remembered it used to be and different things like that, so... Yeah, there's been times things moved, and sometimes you'll hear things move, you know, and By the time I look up above, you know, where I'm sitting, it's kind of hard to tell exactly what item it was, but, you know you heard something. Yeah, nothing like The Conjuring yet, but thank goodness, because I'll jokingly say when I get new items in the on display, I'll tell them, you know, you break anything, you're paying for it.
Right. That's great.
That's one thing I always I told when I got Annie's picture, I told Annie, you know what, when I'm not here, you roll the roof. So I'm going to get that in line, put them back in place. So.
Nice. Very cool.
And that's
well,
one thing I don't, you know.
Show.
What's that?
As I say, you know, you have a new show on Live Paranormal, so a video show, which is really fantastic because people can actually, you know, we're talking and talking, and you know, there's some people who may not have a visual. You know, you could actually watch, you know, Steve, and I'm sure Steve would, you know, show the items and stuff, you know, right on the Live Paranormal, his show. So, you know, you
it'll be,
your first show
as it stands right now, the show that I do, I'm using my desktop camera. So my friend Vicky and I are maybe thinking out a way to maybe save up a little bit, get a tablet to keep there so I can venture throughout the museum as we're doing the show. So right now I'm using a desktop camera, so I really can't move too much. So, but we're definitely thinking of ways to improve the show already. You know, we had 44 people or so when we started, and for some odd reason, I didn't hit the keyboard, I didn't hit the mouse, and it stopped the video and said, we're unable to publish your video. And I'm like, I didn't turn it off. It was weird. It just popped up and turned and shut the video off. I quickly put another video back together and get it started. We got back up to like 20-some. I felt really bad about it, but it was a really odd occurrence. I mean, my wife, I was 5 out of 5 bars. Nothing happened,
right,
like, connection-wise, unless Facebook just had a hiccup or something. I don't know.
Or it could be that you are in an incredibly haunted location, and perhaps it was spiritually influenced.
But it would be funny to go back, I guess maybe not funny, but it'd be interesting to go back and find out what you were talking about right before it cut off, because we had a weird occurrence.
I was just trying to recall that too, and I'm not sure.
Well, at least it's on video, so you could watch. But the funny thing was, is we had a very similar situation, and I had purchased Nicole dolls, haunted dolls, and it was from a home where a collector had just a bunch of dolls and a bunch of activity, and it made its way to an auction house. And I sent her photos of these dolls, and I was like, hey, what do you think about, you know, do you want these? And she thought that they were just probably some that I had laying around, or there were a couple. But it turned out there was like 80 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she has the majority of them in her house now. And I guess is right when we started talking about haunted dolls is where she was, you know, broadcast from. And
I am broadcasting right to them right now, right next to them.
And the Facebook live stream was cut
while
she was talking about the haunted dolls
at
that exact point.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, as I was saying that, trying to recall what I was talking about, and it might have been Eileen Warner. It might have been. I'll have to go back to the video that did publish that is on, or should still be on the Live Paranormal page, and see if I mentioned or tried to recall at that point what I was going over. I'm not sure. But yeah, I was just like, and I was just like, what the heck? And it's funny because when I turned my video back on, I was still bitching about it. I'm like, freaking video went off, it's embarrassing or something like that. But we got it back on and everything, and I think everyone had a good time.
No, they did. The responses were very all positive. Yeah, I would be interested to see what you were talking about because, yeah, that my first thing would be I would go try to stream live again tomorrow and then be like, you know, say the exact thing and see if it did it again. And
yeah,
that's just me and
yeah,
my
I,
my quirks, but
the keyboard was in front of me, the mouse was to the right. I had my elbows on the table and I was just talking, and it just clicked and it went to unable to publish video. I'm like, and of course it didn't record, but I'm like, what the hell is this shit? You know?
Right. Yeah.
No one,
I
really?
Can totally relate.
just wasted 30 minutes of my life. I'll never get back. But it's funny because
yeah.
It actually did publish. So I just checked and it is on. It is published to our Facebook page, so you can easily go back.
Is the
back
first
to
video published or the second one?
Both of them. They're
both
on.
Videos or just one of them?
No, there's two. Two separate.
Well, what the heck? Well, that's cool.
You got pumped by Facebook and the spirit.
All right, you learned how to use Facebook.
That's
he's toying with my emotions here.
Yes. We'll have to go back and play that because if you're like, hey,
yeah.
You can't cut my show off, and then it went off. You know?
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm definitely curious now. I didn't know. I didn't. Because it told me it was unable to publish it, so I never went back and looked at it. I just started the second video.
It's done that to me before, too. And then lo and behold, there was the video. And then I proceeded to use a string of curse words. And then. You know, went about my day, but yeah, I can totally relate.
That's no different than any other time you speak.
This is true.
It's just a normal conversation.
I make sailors blush. Yes, it's true. This is true.
You can. She always is able to work in a swear word, which is like.
It's an art form.
It is.
Yep.
I'm like, can you describe that children's book to me? And she'll be like, somehow work in the F word. I'm like, how did you?
I can. In any sentence. it's an art. Mm-hmm. Truly.
I saw a book in the store that had every, it actually had every swear word translated into different, you know, it was every language. And I was going to buy it for her, and I was like, I don't know. That might be starting something bad because next thing you know, she'll be cursing in other languages as well. And,
yeah.
That could be more socially acceptable depending on my setting.
It could be, but mm-hmm. You know, I don't need to add to her repertoire of curse words. Like here's a book with 600 more curse words. You're
yes.
Like, okay, great. You know,
I call them
I know,
sentence enhancers. Okay, they're sentence enhancers. Okay, they help get the point across when needed, and they're frequently
so
needed.
They're
like MSG for sentences.
Yes, and they're needed.
Makes it better.
They are, yeah.
No,
extra strength. Extra strength is the way I see it.
Each their own. But Neil mm-hmm. said did not buy the book.
Yeah,
so
I'll get it on my own.
I was just gonna say I would assume she's going to be looking on Amazon today.
I am. Maybe right now. You'll never know.
Oh, I'll know because like in 2 weeks you'll be like saying these weird things, and I'll be like I. Like, trust me, it's okay. I'm saying nice things about you. And it turns out you're not.
Nah, you're on to it already. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the museum is amazing.
Yes.
I almost think we're going to have to go back soon.
I know we have to go back. And we have to go back soon.
I know
soon.
We're going to go back, but I had to add the word
yep.
soon.
Yes, because I need to experience this Bible. Quite honestly. And I know that Jenna is dying to get close to this Bible. And
yeah, hopefully she gets to come back soon. It was
yes.
a lot of fun hanging out.
And we have
a
carload of stuff to bring you.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
And hopefully you're not just saying
I got my got my portal fixed too.
Even better, awesome.
Because we were getting ready
very
to use
cool.
it at the Anchorage in Marietta, and my buddy Dave, I love him to death, but he's terrified of spiders, and the spider jumped on his chest, and he threw the bag, and he's, I don't know what was in that bag, I thought, we'll find out when we get inside, and open my bag, and like all the pedals were broken and disconnected from the amp, and I'm like, well, figured out which one you threw, bud.
Oh, no.
But yeah, because we got crazy evidence with that portal that my friend Antonio built at our last investigation we did for Paranormal Quest. We ended up, and it mentioned three members of the family of the house we were investigating. And one of them was Tolly, who was like the dad. Because Tolly, his grandkids came down from upstairs and said, you know, they were scared to death of what was going upstairs. So he went upstairs and told them, you leave my grandbabies alone. You keep it up. I'm going to burn the house down. You wouldn't have a place to stay. Kind of, you know, doing what he could to assert himself, I guess, in his own mind. But one of the captures we got through the portal when we investigated there, and it said crystal clear, it says, hate Tully. Like, it was...
Oh, wow.
It was mentioning... It said Jason's name, my name, Dave's name. I'm pretty sure it said Ryan's name. We got footsteps coming up the steps towards where the recorder was at, and there was a clapping sound during the abandonment technique we used. It was an insane investigation. But we'll have the portal there. So if you guys are here, we can. It works well with the PSV7. That tends to be the best thing to use with it. So you guys can use it too if you need to use one.
That would be awesome.
Cool. We appreciate having you on. I intentionally set our podcast and to run late because I figured we'll have you on and we'll end up talking late. And that much did happen. So maybe I'm a bit sick.
Maybe.
What was that?
Maybe not. But I said maybe I'm a bit psychic. I knew we would run past the allotted time. So I set our podcast system to record extra long. So, and I looked at the time. I'm like, wow, we're 21, 22 minutes past our allotted time slot. But since we run the joint, it doesn't matter.
What are they going to do? That's right. Beauty of it.
Reprimand ourselves.
Right.
Fine. We'll implement a big fine.
Yeah, to ourselves. It's cool. But, no, this has been awesome, and I definitely now feel the itch even more so than before, which was rather strong, to get on back over to the Archive of the Afterlife Museum in Moundsville, West Virginia.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. You guys are always welcome here.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow then.
All right.
If only I could get off work, I would so be there. So be there.
Well, hopefully we'll see you soon. Just may. You never know. We never know what the stuff that we have coming up and stuff going on. You never know. You know, a lot of people say, are you going to investigate this weekend? And for us, there's sometimes it's like, maybe, because we just don't know what's going to happen. There's always like some kind of opportunity or something cool coming up, or I guess there's times that there's not, but you know, we just can't accommodate the, you know, the cool stuff that we can do. But you know, we'll definitely see you soon.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you, and you have a good morning.
It was a lot of fun tonight.
Yeah, I
agree. I think so too.
Yes.
You have to leave us a good review.
That's right. I know. Maybe we should get TripAdvisor. Radio Advisor. How about that?
You should.
You know, we could be honest something. We might not want to say that on there because we might have to look that up and buy that.
Just gave it away. Yep.
There's actually an idea I had about a legit idea about something similar to that, which we can talk about off radio waves. That way, if something does happen, it'll be our idea.
That's beautiful. We love those. We love those calls. That's awesome. We'll make it a plan to do that for sure.
Business is business.
That's right. Well, again, thank you for being our guest tonight, and I can't wait to get back there and check out the newest things that you've added to the museum and visit some of the things that I've grown fond of that you have there. And I'm sure we will be seeing you soon.
Sounds good to hear. You guys take care.
All right, you too. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
So I think that after our discussion, and we definitely brought the right guy in to talk about if life is going to be haunted.
I know. For sure.
You know, we had that experience with one of his items that I me being skeptical, I just can't explain.
Exactly.
So, I think that it's actually a legit theory, and a lot of people, you know, for years, it's one of the longest running things, you know, paranormal back into, I don't know, I've seen articles and stuff in the 1800s about things that are, you know, items that are had the spirits attached.
Right,
and,
spiritually charged items, yes.
And I think it's, you know, not everything just because it looks creepy. That's where I think a lot of people get fooled, and I think the fact that, you know, modern television and the movies kind of make a you know, play into it, is
mm-hmm.
just because it looks creepy doesn't actually mean it's haunted. You know,
right.
If you look mm-hmm. at the book or some of the other stuff that he has, it just looks like, well, it's got blood stains, but, you know, I guess that's mm-hmm. a poor analogy. But, you know, if there's stuff that, you know, can have an attachment that's not necessarily creepy looking.
Right. Some items are unassuming that you would look at and you would think, oh, look at that cute little baby doll. Of course, I think that because I'm not creeped out by dolls. But some people would be like, no, all dolls are creepy. Okay, so we'll use a different one. We'll use a
fork.
I don't know. Yeah, a fork. Fork will work. You know, look at that fork. Oh, I love that fork. That fork's amazing. Totally not. But I think maybe some people collect them, you know, and they'd be like, oh. And, you know.
Many people collect spoons.
Then maybe the people should collect things other than spoons.
I actually have a large spoon collection, which now I wonder if it's haunted.
What about a fork collection?
No, only spoons. My grandmother collected spoons, and I don't know why I took them. I felt bad. My mom was like, hey, you want these as your grandma's? And, like, you know, when someone passes on, you're always like, nah, I don't want them. Throw them out. You know, so I got them in my basement closet. So I wonder, I guess if I hear clanging of spoons tonight, I know that they're haunted.
Well, I know very well that they can be thrown at you, as I have had spoons thrown at me. So
maybe I'll bring them on our investigation. That could be our trigger items. See, can you throw that spoon, and we'll bring them. I have a whole bunch of spoons.
Well, there you go. Perhaps one of them are, you know, unknowingly to you, spiritually charged, or perhaps an entity might think it's a great idea just to throw one just for the hell of it, because why not, right?
Well, and I think my purpose behind mentioning, you know, items that you might not think are haunted, is that everyone listening tonight is going to be like, hey, I wonder if I have something that's haunted that I don't
mm-hmm.
think is haunted. And they're going to be on the lookout. That was my purpose behind that.
Well, that's good. And if you have an item,
drawers,
if you have any items that you feel are perhaps haunted and you no longer want them because they are bothering you, you can always reach out to us at Live Paranormal, and either myself or Steve or somebody would, I'm sure, be interested in helping you get those items off your hands.
And we will be taking some of our haunted items to
mm-hmm.
Steve's museum, and we will have our own section of the museum. It's called,
mm-hmm.
well, it's obviously going to be called the Live Paranormal section. I don't know if it's section is the right word, but the Live Paranormal to be determined portion of this museum. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's forthcoming. We just had to get the stuff packed up and taken.
That's right.
To his location. And, you know, we have some big stuff and some little stuff and medium.
And we'll be getting on to that here soon, I'm sure. But thank you all for tuning in tonight. It is about time. We are way over our time. So I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. Be sure to go over and check out the Archive of the Afterlife Museum. They have a Facebook page. Give them a like and a follow. And also do that to Live Paranormal if you haven't. Go on over to the Live Paranormal on Facebook and give us a like and a follow. And stay tuned for additional awesome stuff that will be coming soon that we will be sharing, hopefully, really, really soon with you guys.
Tomorrow.
As in really soon. That's really exciting. And at least for us, we hope you're excited too. And keep an eye on the new content that's being added to Live Paranormal pretty much almost daily. It seems like we have new shows starting, and we're very excited about those. So be sure to check out all the new stuff over at liveparanormal.com. Best way to do that, check out our website as well as our Facebook page. And like we said, big announcement coming, hopefully, for sure, tomorrow. So it's about to totally cut off.
Two new shows tomorrow.
two new radio shows, so make sure to check out the pages to learn about those.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in, guys. Have a great week. See you next week.